This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Astrology University podcast and this episode of the Cosmic Eye Forecast, where we're focusing on Virgo season 2021. And I'm joined by Vanessa Montgomery. Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, Tony. Hey, everyone. Happy Virgo season. What are we launching into? Mutable. The weather's changing. Goodbye, summer. Hello, summer for us here.
Right. Goodbye, summer, and hello, summer.
Hello, summer. Yeah. Yeah. So mutable sign. So we come to the end of the glorious summer in the north and happily goodbye winter in the south here in the southern hemisphere. So Virgo season, of course, we've got up interpersonal earth, yin earth. So get your practical on. We've had already, you know, like last season, a bit of a preliminary prelude with planets already ahead of the sun, personal planets going into Virgo. So I think it's funny that I saw something, Tony, that you posted those little aspect and ingress updates you've been doing on the socials, and you had a picture of this lovely clean bathroom white bench top, someone putting something into a drawer, and I had just done that with my white bench top, putting all the stuff in the drawers, although you wouldn't want to see the drawers. It's like the sanitary version of it, but everything is tweaked. I've finished off, you know, stuff with this gold circle I have behind me that I hadn't done. And I think it was the Virgo coming through. So now with the sun going in, if you've noticed anyone that you've been doing those things, that's the Virgo vibe right there. So go for it. It's like an early spring clean for us here. And do the opposite, like an early fall clean. You know, put down the summer umbrella, pack away the sunscreen to start to get out the cooler weather stuff. You know, it's about preparedness and going with that change. So I analyze is the saying. Is that the one that you use, Tony? I analyze.
That's a good one. I like several words for all of the signs. I like implement basically based on what you were just saying a minute ago as well. So I do find that because Virgo is Earth, it's often about implementation. Virgo's, you know, thought to be a hard worker, and that seems to fit a lot. But it's just about doing, right?
That's it. I implement. I like that. And of course, Tony has six planets in Virgo. So we have got the insight. We get to look under the hood here. And we're just talking off camera on, I would love to hear Tony deep dive one day and produce something about Virgos from the inside, especially for such a private sign. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yes. Among all the 1,000 other projects you are implementing right now.
Right.
Here we are on Tony's day off. So that says everything you need to know about the worker bee. Well, it's a worker bee vibe, isn't it? So Virgo in the placement of the signs, you know, correlating to the seasons based on the Northern Hemisphere, of course, comes at, you know, harvest time when you sort the harvest. So you sort out what's useful and leave the rest, the chalk from the cheese or the chalk from the chaff. And that's the real key to Virgo there. And I think I like to use the word relentless for this key traits for each sign. And Virgo is relentlessly discerning, like looking for the things to discern, you know, checking everything out. I looked at, the meaning of discernment, and it says able to discern, recognize small details, accurately tell the difference between similar things, and make intelligent judgments by using such observations. So that's it in a nutshell, isn't it, Tony?
So good.
Yep. So good. So if you need someone for that sort of job, go for the Virgo. It's a yin sign, so ruled by Mercury as opposed to yang Mercury. I think it's a very contemplative sign, sits back, ingests, digests, thinks about things. Okay, what can we use? What's useful? So I find, Virgos, because of that Mercury, how do they use that differently to a Gemini? And that's the vibe that you're going to be in. We all are, whether we're Virgo or not, we certainly have the sun and the planets going through Virgo somewhere in our chart through this season. So where is that? That in that area, that's where you do like to be discerning, and you need to respect that about yourself and what you bring to that area of your life, because that's being lit up right now. So it's a very sensitive sign, of course, on that sensitive axis with Pisces, and people don't usually give that to the Virgo. They give it to the Pisces, but I find Virgo equally as sensitive. They're both very much on that, you know, awareness of small detail and subtlety. So that makes for a very sensitive instrument. So treat them as such. And of course, again, yourself in that area of your life, and you'll get the best out of it. So here's some key words: very refined and with an eye on refinement, detail-oriented, of course, very famous for that one, very skillful, very skill-based as well, precise, you know, that precision, perfectionist, very professional and really shines in anything to do with work quite often. Obviously, organization, loves a storage solution. I'd say a fair share of Virgos got into the Marie Kondo trend as well. My cousin that I live with has Virgo rising, and she just loves going to storage shops and poking around and finding things. Sometimes she's not allowed to buy things, so she just goes in there and looks around. the editor. So that editor that comes through with sorting out the harvest, that's also about editing words, using language efficiently, not too much. Tony, you actually just said before this, let's like keep things more concise, says the Virgo. Throwing things out. I find Virgos love throwing things out, you know, spring clean every day. Loves composting. Do you love composting, Tony?
I do compost. I don't love it because it's stinky.
What about if someone did your composting for you? Would that be your language of love?
Yes, that would be nice. I would like that.
And certainly a way to anyone with a bit of Virgo's heart, especially Venus in Virgo, I find, like, let them walk into the room and see you tidying up or cleaning something, and you just look over at them like, look at me, I'm cleaning. They're just very happy, makes for a happy Virgo. Obviously, the other thing is a keen interest in health also is very strong with a lot of Virgos. And the digestion is what's ruled by Virgo. Again, that's the part of the body that assimilates what is useful and gets rid of the rest. So we keep getting this repeat on that particular theme, and that's the relentless theme that runs through everything a Virgo does and is about. At the end of the day, you'll see that process in so many different ways. And I think it's a real key to understanding Virgo. If you take nothing, take that away from today. Service, of course, it's quite an humble sign as well, very service oriented. Yeah, Tony is my study, obviously. Very easy to deal with, always great for a chat as well. There's that Mercury there, likes to talk about lots of different things, but then also get on with the job as well. But always a great conversationalist, I find. We've got pitfalls, of course, with every sign. So with Virgo, we've got the self-critical, so that Mercury turned in on itself, where you can see the glyph and that final leg turns in. I find there is that the other side of the contemplation is the self-attack. So learning to turn that around for the actual Virgos is a bit of a pivotal point in life, isn't it, Tony?
Definitely.
I find, yeah, of course, expectations, because Virgo sees where things could be, like sees the goal. How could this be improved? What is the goal of that? And Pisces can be the same, like having that higher expectation, but in different ways. And when that expectation isn't met, there's that disappointment that runs across that whole axis, I think. So Tony, you often say things about that as well. What's your advice for that one?
The disappointment?
Yeah, like projecting perfection and then being disappointed.
Yeah, I find that the Pisces polarity has the antidote, which is acceptance, but it's like a profound and all-encompassing acceptance that everything is perfect just as it is. So when you're seeing that disarray or experiencing the disappointment, to settle back in, come back to center and accept what is, accept it in all its complexity, accept the mess, accept whatever it is. And then you can take the next step, you know, Virgo just likes to take the next step to fixing that thing or improving it or doing something about it. So I think acceptance is the key word there.
That's a real earth moment too, isn't it? Coming back into the reality, come back into your body. Okay. You can't deal with a thing unless you're going to deal with it as it is existing in the present moment. So I really like that approach. So classic signs, Tony, who is your classic Virgo?
Well, mine is Amy Poehler, who's an actor, comedian, writer, producer, and director. Do we think we might want to put her in the Virgo Overachiever Club? Yes. And she's definitely an implementer as well. And here's a quote from her about that, where she says, "I want to be around people that do things. I don't want to be around people anymore that judge or talk about what people do. I want to be around people that dream and support and do things." So it's, you can hear in that, I think she says, "I don't want to be around these other kind of people anymore," suggesting that she's been there and she's been there herself probably. Right. So she's been that person that's just sitting there complaining. And she's like, "I want to actually get into the implementation part of Virgo and not just complain, but actually do something to kind of back up my words or my thoughts."
I love her for classic Virgo too, for that she's gotten out and she's providing solutions for problems she clearly sees and, you know, has an issue with. So she's actually doing something about it too. Fantastic.
And you can see, of course, her Mercury gifts, and she's witty and funny and hilarious and quirky. And she weaves in that sometimes common nerd aspect of Virgo and turns it into humor and with, you know, total skill. But here's another a quote of hers, which I think is good advice to Virgos everywhere. And I do think of that she's kind of somebody who is a great example of some of the higher potentials of Virgo. But she says, "You do it because the doing of it is the thing. The doing is the thing. The talking and worrying and thinking is not the thing." So I love that one. And it's just, it kind of backs up that earlier quote as well, where, the more shadow side of Virgo can just do the talking and worrying and thinking, right? And the over-analysis and the paralysis through analysis and all of that. So great advice from Amy Poehler.
Yes, I actually love that quote of hers too. It's just nails it. So what have we got? Obviously, there's so many people all the time, Pink, Beyonce, and Amy. I found one, well, something Beyonce said, who's just, what a hard worker. It's outrageous. She said, "I'm a workaholic and I don't believe in no. If I'm not sleeping, nobody's sleeping." And that's how she gets things done. Awesome. You know, there is that work element. You do have to do the work. You do have to put the time in. It's funny. I see a lot of things on socials, Instagram and things like that, which is mainly women and aimed at women, because that's mostly who's on there. And from the business, I guess it's from the business side. And there's so many things saying, "Oh, you know, just don't, like, it's okay not to work. It's okay not to do things. Take a breath." And it's like, well, to me, the earth signs achieve because they will drive through the night and they just do the work, and you just have to do the work. Like, when I've achieved anything, it doesn't get done if you don't do it. And so there is that. Obviously, there's balance, and there's a really important the polarity, the water side, where you have to go in and really go into that creative space, but you have to do it. You know, and earth is, it's the material world. Like, it's a slower moving space than, you know, air, when you can just think of things and have the perfection mentally. To actually do that thing is like moving mountains sometimes, pushing earth uphill. You just have to do it. It makes you stronger. So that's my classic signs. Anything else to add there?
Well, I just have one more quote from Idris Elba, who's I'm very, very proud to have on Team Virgo. I just love Idris Elba, an actor from the UK. And this quote, I think, it, like Amy Poehler, I think it, this kind of shows that Idris has kind of worked with some of this Virgo energy and turned it around and realized some of the more positive potentials of Virgo. And his quote, "I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to fall over and make a mistake. That often cripples people on the onset of getting into anything. Now, I do want to preface, because I already said it, but I do want to qualify that with the fact that Idris has Sun conjunct Mars. So you can hear a bit of that coming through there as well, right? So taking some of that Virgo energy and alchemizing it with Mars to get this, you know, to develop courage in the face of potentially making a mistake. So I love that one.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to have to look that one up because I don't know that person. I don't
think. Idris Elba. Yeah. I mean, he's, I have to say, a total heartthrob and a powerhouse action actor, but also really great in some complex dramas. And he has a lot of range in his ability as well, right? For sure. But he's got, you know, he can play the tough guy really well, which I love to kind of, you know, that's very Sun Mars, of course, but it also contradicts some of the Virgo stereotype in a nice way, I think.
Yes. Yes. And really important to really start digging past the stereotypes with a lot of signs too. It's fun to get that handle on them, but it's really important to open up to the whole spectrum, because if you don't notice it otherwise, like if you don't put it on your own radar, you just don't see it, which I think, you know, can be useful just to interpersonal. And if we're talking astrology, people listening, further kind of reiterating it, putting it out there, let's like open it up more and start developing it.
Definitely.
It has been, I think, past the memes. So monthly moons.
Yeah, let's go for the moons.
We have got the first up is the new moon in Virgo, which is September 6th, and it's at 14 degrees Virgo. It will be conjunct Mars, trine Uranus, and opposite Neptune. So, yeah, actually not too bad. That's quite nice, actually. Just watch for, the fantasy with the opposition at the time with Neptune, like what shows up on your radar, who's going to capture or what is capturing that Neptune also with the oppositions. Trine Uranus. So Uranus keeps featuring in things I've noticed. So easily adapting more, breaking out of a box when you're setting your new moon intentions, like go for that breakout, because there's that's exact. And try and Uranus at 14 degrees, same as the moon at sun moon at 14 degrees. So that's exact. You know, why not harness the electricity of that Uranus right there? With the full moon coming up on September 20, that'll be at 7:55 p.m. and it's at 28 Pisces. Of course, you've got that on the axis, full moon in Pisces opposite the Virgo, where you get to incorporate polarity. So remember, always on the full moon with the polarity. And some people like to do their full moon resolutions, and fair enough. I just think, well, let your subconscious know what you want to be revealed, but also notice what actually is on the radar at that time, how you're feeling. Look at in your chart, is that kicking off anything? And particularly what area, what house is that in for you? And notice any emotions that come up. It's in Pisces for a start. It's always, you know, full moon will bring things to the fore. It draws things out. Always think of the ocean and the fishes that come up to the surface. So what's coming up to the surface, it gets closer for you to know and deal with, you know, without judgment. I think it's a real opportunity, the full moons, of course. So this one's conjunct Neptune, trine the North Node, and conjunct Mars, sun conjunct Mars, I should say, but the moon isn't opposite the Mars. So conjunct Neptune, super magical. It's fairly wide, but it's still definitely an orb, retrograde Neptune. So again, the fantasy element could be there. There could be that someone's capturing that. Obviously, we often say about, you know, do artwork or poetry or watch a movie, you know, watch, it's a sensitive placement. So watch what you are feeding your psyche as well. Why not feed it something magical and beautiful to really inspire your spirit at that time? If you're allowed out and to be social, maybe plan something. You know, that's fantastical. Imagine a dinner party where everyone comes as a character, or, you know, decorate and set it beautifully and put, you know, candelabra on the table or whatever. Why not just pump that up? There's so many different light options these days too, where you get all the different colors going on. That would be a great way to spend September 20. Anything you have to say about the moons, Tony, before we move on?
No, I love what you just said. That was perfect.
I know, I want to go to that dinner party.
I know, me too.
So give me the headlines, Tony. What have we got on the radar this month?
Sure thing. Well, the big aspect this year is still Saturn in Aquarius, square Uranus in Taurus, although it's a bit weaker this month as they're kind of separating due to some retrograde activity. We had the second exact pass of that aspect on June 14th, and we'll get one more in late December. So between the first one that happened, we have kind of a whole year of Saturn square Uranus coloring the collective. And also on a monthly basis, as the faster moving planets come into aspect with those. So this month with Saturn moving retrograde, there's, like I said, a bit of a distance between these two, about 6 degrees right now. So a bit wider than it has been, but Uranus is stationing retrograde as we record this. So I think this signals a time when we get to, with both of them now retrograde, where we get to rehash or go over some of the dynamics that have been presented through the square in the collective. And for us personally, if this is a aspect that's been important for you on a personal level as well. One of the big issues that this energy has filtered into this year in the collective is around whether to get vaccinated or not. Another one is whether to wear masks or not. And the square between Saturn and Uranus means that there are those that are trying to set rules and guidelines. That's the Saturn side. And then there are others who don't want to be told what to do. And that's the Uranus side. So there's defiant resistance, but there's also defiant mandating. And with these two energies kind of weaving together and with these two expressions also vexing each other. And that's the tension inherent in the square, where we're asked to come to some kind of creative resolution. With both planets retrograde, we have an opportunity to further consider where we stand on these issues and to potentially reconsider our position or to reflect on our choices. Ultimately, we're all called to find some kind of negotiation or integration between our internal drive toward greater and personal freedom, signified by Uranus, and our need to make wise choices that also have in mind the safety and protection of the greater community in which we live. And that's a higher expression of Saturn. In other news, Jupiter is solidly back in Aquarius now for its last stint since being in Pisces for a bit earlier this year. I've been feeling like I've been tending to a Jupiter in Pisces hangover myself. How about you, Vanessa?
Oh, I don't even, I just know everything gets canceled that I want to go to and have fun and be expansive. And every all roads lead to just get on with more work, really. Yeah.
I mean, thinking about the hangover image, I was personally taken by the energy of optimism, big dreams, and untempered growth that was signaled by Jupiter in Pisces. And of course, for me, that was opposite all those Virgo planets we were talking about earlier. And this Jupiter in Pisces also correlated with relaxed restrictions in many places and many aspects of life opening up more fully after the 2020 COVID restrictions, especially here in the United States. The real estate market had an unprecedented kind of runaway inflation as Jupiter entered Pisces. It did start before that, but when Jupiter went into Pisces, it went into the stratosphere. And if you were looking for a house while Jupiter was in Pisces here in the United States, and I've heard in other countries as well, things had gotten really crazy with prices being paid well over the appraised value. And I find that really interesting with Jupiter in Pisces as well, because it's as if the prices themselves were fantastical. The prices weren't based on tangible or realistic markers of value. Anything you want to add to that, Vanessa?
That's an interesting point, because of course we've experiencing the same here in Australia, and I imagine it's the same in a lot of places. And also the demographics, it's all changing because people are splitting from the city, see ya, and going out to the country, where if they're going to be locked up, which, you know, a lot of us still are here in Australia, we haven't really gotten out and about so much. Most of the East Coast is currently under lockdown and it's getting more and more strict again, not in my state, but the rest of the entire East Coast. Delta does Australia right now. So people are just like, well, if I have to stay home, I don't want to be in a little apartment box. And the tide has just really turned. And it's the same. It's like, it's very hard to get a rental. The market's just, it's fantastical. It's great for anyone selling. And it's interesting, Jupiter in, like you were saying, I didn't think about it like that, Tony, and now you've mentioned that I am. Jupiter in Pisces has the least amount of, there is no boundary, and Jupiter likes that. It can go and go and go until it gets to, you know, an earth sign, which will bring it back. And also the cryptocurrency right now is just rocketing again. Some people say it's because this full moon coming up as we record this is conjunct Jupiter. And also Jupiter, even going into Aquarius, it's, to me, it's really ballooning. Even, you know, if you use the traditional ruler of Aquarius with Saturn, maybe that will correct a little bit, but it's a very expansive sign as well. So I think we've had a taste of what's to come when Jupiter goes back into Pisces. No limit. Like, there's a place where things is going to balloon out, and maybe in response to all the restriction in other areas. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and I've thought a little bit more about the housing market, but I think with Jupiter and Pisces, we had the crypto crash too after a period where it got really high earlier this year. So that's interesting to think about with Jupiter, when Jupiter went back into Aquarius and we had crypto going up again. So that's interesting. But just as Jupiter went back into Aquarius in the housing market, many markets began to cool off somewhat in the United States, and some prices started showing some signs of correction. And also the number of offers on homes began to decrease, according to realtors, and this more so in some markets than others. So on a personal level, if you were caught up in some runaway dreaming while Jupiter was in Pisces, you might now be questioning those ideas and plans. I've had that experience myself. With Jupiter back now in Aquarius, you have the chance to apply some objectivity to some of those dreams. There's less believing that it's just going to work out, even if the numbers don't add up, or just not considering the numbers at all, unless taking a dive into something new based on faith alone without having a solid plan or knowing how things are going to turn out and just taking it all on faith. Jupiter in Aquarius has a better sense of limits, and we have to imagine that limits isn't even part of the Jupiter in Pisces vocabulary, as you were saying earlier, Vanessa.
Yep. No limits. I'm looking forward to that.
So I think that this moment, while we have some Jupiter in Aquarius until about the end of the year, is a rare opportunity we're in to make plans for next year and to avoid getting into some of the pitfalls of getting truly too carried away by our own desire for growth when Jupiter goes back into Pisces next year, or a sense of ungrounded optimism that we're likely to jump into again. And we're meant to do that with Jupiter in Pisces. But if we can have, what I'm saying is, if we can use this time period that, you know, we had a taste of Jupiter in Pisces, now we have Jupiter in Aquarius again, we can step back, we can get a more objective or detached viewpoint, and we can make some plans about, when I do get carried away next year, I'm going to set this limit or that limit, or I'll let myself go high, but not this high, or something like that. I don't know if it'll work or not. It's just an idea. It's not that we want to stifle optimism. Instead, it's that we've all had a preview of the topics that Jupiter and Pisces might expand in our lives personally next year when it goes there again. And we can reflect on with some detachment now on just what we'd like to put our energy into, and then set up some checks and balances now to prevent us from making some blind faith blunders next year.
That's a great point, Tony, and a great way to use the Virgo season as well. Like, do it now while we're in something analytical and practical. So a good way to use the season.
Definitely, definitely. On that note, with Mercury currently in Virgo, it has been a good time to do some analysis and to spend some time sorting through or organizing your mental space. But since Neptune's in Pisces, as Mercury reaches later degrees of Virgo, because Neptune and Pisces is in later degrees, well, as we speak, it's applying to the opposition with Neptune, which it completes or perfects on August 24th. Perfects is a word we use in astrology just to mean it's exact. So hard aspects between Mercury and Neptune often feel like Mercury retrograde, in the sense that things can get lost in translation, you might feel misunderstood, or you could experience a communication breakdown. It's also time when you might long to be heard or find your thinking clouded or confused. The 24th would be a great day, and that's August 24th, if you're listening to this after the fact. It's a great day to block off from any kind of analytical mental work that requires some mental heavy lifting, sharpness, or clarity, and instead use that day to drift off into reverie, to tune out or turn off your mental faculties and enjoy some downtime from any heavy thinking. On September 2nd, Mars opposes Neptune, signaling a time for a break from action and forward momentum, because Neptune is going to make that a little bit more challenging when in aspect to Mars. Actions that you might take might surprise you later as you wonder where the motivation was coming from. Taking action in spiritual pursuits could be indicated with a Mars-Neptune aspect, but especially when combined with an intention to surrender the will, which I think Neptune might be asking Mars when it's an aspect. On September 5th, Venus in Libra is square Pluto and opposite Eris. And we don't talk about Eris much, but if your Venus in Libra transit has been having you work toward harmony and balance, for instance, this is a day when the apple cart might be upset as Eris signals some kind of disruption to the flow. And then Pluto compels some awareness of the things that we don't want to look at, and that might cloud up Venus's hope for a fruitful connection. Pluto asks Venus in Libra to keep it real and to not gloss over darker truths in its pursuit of connection. And then finally, on September 17th, Venus, which will then be in Scorpio, so it'll move out of Libra into Scorpio. And if Venus kind of takes in some of those insights from that aspect with Eris and Pluto, things kind of do get real for Venus. And then it squares Saturn in Aquarius. And on or around that date, September 17th, we might feel some tension between our desire for deeper connection and some cold, hard reality that may feel like it's blocking that. So assess what's real and possible, and then make any necessary adjustment. Anything you want to add to any of those, Vanessa?
I was just thinking about the Eris, actually. Also, I guess Chiron's probably pretty close to that. And I'm just thinking about what's just happened with this group that's crashed the party in Afghanistan, and also just people that are maybe taking the more Uranian vibe with, I don't want to do that, I'm going to do it my way. And there's a lot of party crashing, actually, and spanners in the works. I think it's something to think about when planets are kicking off that Eris. It's, I guess, the atmosphere at the moment, because it's open to chaos, is Eris likes that kind of vibe. So
yeah, and we have Eris square Pluto. Now they're both really slow moving planets, and so that square's gonna, you know, in range for a long time, but it's exact right now. So that is interesting. It's fascinating. One of the things I've noticed in my limited study of Eris, you know, Eris was really prominent in the chart for the 2016 election, and Eris can surprise us, you know, and Uranus isn't the only planet that correlates with surprises. And these kind of disruptions that Eris seems to correlate with, there's some part of us, maybe our Saturn part, that wants to imagine that couldn't possibly happen. And then it does, you know, so really interesting correlation you brought up there, Vanessa.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking more about it this year as well. And I guess the thing with Eris, it is such a trickster, because no one, you know, if you look at the fable, the myth, no one was onto what was happening at possibly any stage of it. So there's this unknown element. It's everything just seems chaos, but there is someone orchestrating by giving it to you to make the crazy. So. And I've got natally Moon Chiron conjunct Eris, so it's been making me think about it more in that social area and looking at where do I do that, or where do I experience that? And yeah, in the world right now, wow, it's actually plays into Uranus. So like, it seems to go quite well with Uranus. They play together well. So that Saturn Uranus square is definitely vibing with that too.
I like that image of thinking of Eris and Uranus kind of getting along. Okay. And it makes me think of, I tend to actually think of the planets in as characters in my mind. And I'm realizing now where this is coming from. I read Neil Gaiman's Sandman comics when I was younger and was really influenced by them. And so I can see them as these kind of comic book characters, you know, kind of snickering in the background as they're, you know, throwing disruptive energy balls into the space and just watching people, you know, descend into chaos.
Yes. Remember, imagine those two. They would have so much fun together.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, the ingresses, I just want to name them. And if you want to add anything in here, you can, Vanessa. But on August 29th, Mercury moves into Libra. So we just had a short time of Mercury in Virgo, and we'll have a short time of Mercury in Libra as well, because Mercury's moving along at a fast clip. And then on September 10th, Venus goes into Scorpio, as I mentioned earlier. And on September 14th, Mars enters Libra. Well, now we're on to the declination report. And in out of bounds news this month, we just have the moon out of bounds, which is the moon's going out of bounds a couple of times a month right now for a few days each time. And those dates during Virgo season are August 31st to September 4th from the moon in Gemini until just the very beginning of the moon in Leo. And then September 14th to 16th from moon in Sagittarius, late Sag, to early Capricorn. Earmark these dates, again, August 34th, September 4th, and then September 14th to 16th, and pay special attention to your emotional experience and also your habitual responses, which also have to do with the moon. And these are good dates for process rather than acting on emotional impulse. So just think of just always earmark your out of bounds moon times for processing. Processing instead of action could be your mantra for that. If at all possible, it can help to give yourself extra space on these days and wait to share anything sensitive that comes up until you've given yourself the presence that is needed to be able to skillfully express your needs. If you can do that, if you feel like you can do that while the moon is still out of bounds, go for it. But just as long as that's your litmus test, right? Have I spent time with myself so that I can skillfully express my needs, and then go for it. Mercury might stand out or feel emphasized around August 30th as it changes from north to south declination. Now, this isn't something I've mentioned before, but as the planet changes from north to south declination, it crosses zero. And it's kind of like, you can think of it like crossing the equator sort of vibe there. And it's also kind of a changing state moment. Mars makes a similar change in state from north to south on September 19th. And these crossings, in short, are brief moments that have a similar feeling as a station when the energy of that planet can feel especially potent. So watch where they are in your chart on those days. Mercury is going to be around 28 degrees Virgo on August 30th, and Mars is going to be around 2 degrees Libra on September 19th. So you can bookmark those dates and use them for a little self-inquiry and research, and just see what comes up for you, especially if those degrees are sensitive in your chart. Parallel aspects in declination can be interpreted like conjunctions between planets. And we just have two to pay attention to this month. That's September 5th with Mercury parallel Neptune. And then on September 15th with Venus parallel Jupiter. Now, I've said this before, but when planets are parallel, in addition to being conjunct, they're forming what's arguably the strongest aspect configuration. And with these two parallels that I just mentioned, neither of them are conjunct this month. So they're just parallel and not conjunct. So they're not making that strongest kind of aspect. But I call them to your attention because when there's just a parallel, most of us don't tend to look for those in our charts. And these are great days to tap into a synergy between these planets that you might not otherwise notice without using declination. So there's an opportunity for imaginative thinking on September 5th under the Mercury-Neptune parallel, as well as spacing out or losing the thread in the more negative expression. So spend some intentional time in reverie that day, if possible. And then on the 15th, there's some nice Venus-Jupiter juju that you can tap into for positive flow or to use to invite in some grace or some creative magic. And that brings us to our nonprofit break. And each month we feature a nonprofit on our podcast that we also support with a donation and encourage you to support. This month we're featuring one of my very favorite nonprofits called Charity Water. And this is a nonprofit that we make a regular monthly donation to through Astrology University. And they're a nonprofit that's dedicated to bringing clean and safe drinking water to people in developing countries. The folks at Charity Water believe that if we work together, that everyone will have access to life's most basic need, water, within our lifetime. To learn more about Charity Water's inspiring work, look them up on YouTube, where you can watch founder Scott Harrison tell his moving story about what guided him to set up this nonprofit, which helps so many people on a daily basis with very basic needs. Learn more at charitywater.org. And that brings us to Opportunity Knocks, where we call your attention to some trines and sextiles that you can tap into for some creative magic. And on August 20th to 22nd, which is technically right before Virgo season, Mercury and Mars in Virgo trine Uranus in Taurus, and that kicks off Virgo season on August 23rd, Venus trines Saturn with both planets in rulership. That might be a really important aspect to pay attention to this month, with Venus in Libra and Saturn in Aquarius, highlighting themes of fairness. And on August 26th, we have Mercury in Virgo trine Pluto in Capricorn. On September 4th, we have Mercury in Libra trine Saturn in Aquarius. On September 6th, we have Mars in Virgo trine Pluto in Capricorn. And on September 6th, we also have Venus in Libra trine Jupiter in Aquarius on the new moon. Is there anything you'd like to call out about any of these aspects, Vanessa?
Well, one thing I noticed was there are a lot of trines this month. A lot. There's nine, which is great. Like, a lot of opportunities. It looks like pretty smooth sailing in a lot of ways. There's six opposition, so a lot of opposition vibe, and only three squares, which aren't huge. So yeah, a lot of no major outer planet situations, but a lot of, you know, Mars, the Sun, Venus, like all the inner planets to outer planets as they move quickly, but, you know, a lot of opportunities that comes down to. So it's going to be a lot of knocks at the door with the opportunity knocking. So lots of maybe just leave the door open this month. Yeah, lots of really good ones. So really worth marking down and thinking about the best way to use those and just to feel the vibe. Like I've said before, often I'll just think, oh, it feels really good today, and I'll check the astrology and there's some beautiful aspect happening, and you can really feel that energy.
So I'll just say a few more words about that Venus trine Jupiter aspect, because that one takes place on September 6th, which might be a great date for an electional, because there are actually three trines on that day. Venus in Libra is trine Jupiter in Aquarius, Mars in Virgo is trine Pluto in Capricorn, and the Sun in Virgo is trine Uranus in Taurus. So a lot of opportunity to tap into. You can kind of, I really like to work my electionals by trying to get a rising sign that taps into one of those aspects. So you have three to choose from, depending on your intentions. You know, if you want something to move fast and powerfully, you might go for that Mars Pluto aspect. If there's something that you want to move with a lot of grace and beauty, you might tap into the Venus Jupiter, and with the Sun Uranus, if you want to make a breakthrough, that might be a good energy to tap into with this one. I think there's also some good electional energy on September 9th when you can tap into the Moon trine Jupiter. So that's always a fast one, but you could, you know, kind of work the time to get that one just right. And you want to pick a time when Moon is trine Jupiter while applying to conjunct Venus as well. So puts the Moon in a really nice position there with Venus and Jupiter. This day might be even better than the 6th in some ways, just because it's a little further out from the new moon, whereas the 6th is right on the new moon. And I always like to just get a little bit of growth and movement away from that new moon for my electionals, but there's just some wonderful energy obviously to tap into on the 6th as well. These are both days when you can tap into the energy of grace, ease, and flow in order to stimulate or help a project grow. There are air gifts to be mined in these aspects between Libra and Aquarius. So the energies of fairness, equity, and objectivity could color things that you start on these days, or they might align with your intentions really well. So that brings us to our next segment. What's on your coffee table and what are you reading right now, Vanessa?
Well, Tony, I am looking at the medical side of astrology again. I'm always inspired by Virgo with that. I might have mentioned this one before. It's Handbook of Medical Astrology by Jane Ritter Patrick. She's Scottish. If you check her out as well, she's got such a gorgeous Scottish accent. And I had the pleasure of seeing her at a conference live years ago here in Australia, and she demonstrated some of her techniques, which she uses words as well. She listens. Possibly she is a Virgo. I have a feeling she might be. Do you know, Tony? She is.
Yeah. She is. Yeah.
And she is such a great example. And she used this, first she did this thing around listening to someone's words and following them through. I mean, how Virgo is that? And the thing she uncovered was incredible. I was really blown away by her, actually. And then she used the astrology. So she's got this great book, which, you know, shows all the correlations. She's an older lady too, so she's a lot of experience and observation, wealth of observation. So I highly recommend that. I'll be enjoying it. And the other one I've got is Ayurvedic Astrology, Self-Healing Through the Stars by David Frawley, who has written quite a lot of books combining Eastern philosophy and ways. So that's quite interesting because he brings that into the body as well. You know, they're so big on the doshas, planets and gemstones, herbs, all those sorts of things. And it was some of his work that I did mine for when I did wrote my second book, Cosmic Power, because I included a lot of those correlations. So he's quite a wealth to look at as well. And what about you, Tony? What's on your coffee table? What are you reading?
I am reading a lovely book, Looking for Lorraine, The Radiant and Radical Life of Lorraine Hansberry by Imani Perry. I absolutely love this book, and I'm actually looking forward to reading more books by Imani Perry after this one, but because I just really enjoying her, and I've been watching some interviews with her and diving into that one because I was just teaching a class on T-squares for our new Aspect Patterns course, and I used Lorraine Hansberry's chart as my teaching example for that one. And so whenever I do that, I love to just totally immerse myself in someone's biography and in their work. And so I rewatched Raisin in the Sun, an amazing film based on a play that she wrote that's so brilliant. And her life is so amazing. And one of Imani Perry's points is that, at least in the United States, we tend to, if we might know her play, because it's one of the most produced plays in American history in the last 100 years or so. And we might know the film as well, but we don't tend to know her name. And so Imani Perry wanted to call attention to her as a figure, and her work in the world was completely amazing. She's an amazing, powerful figure. So I'll just leave that there. And if you want to learn more, I encourage you to pick up this book. It's wonderful. And that takes us to our next section, which is called Takeaways. So what are your takeaways for this month, Vanessa?
Breathe. I've actually already gotten into like grounding in the body, Mercury, air, lungs, but the ritual sort of spiritual aspect of it to me is pranayama. Do you think that's kind of Virgo vibes, the pranayama breath work?
I mean, I think that, you know, with Gemini and the lungs, we probably, you know, head over to Gemini for that one. But I think with in any kind of daily ritual that's health-based, we can definitely put it in the Virgo category, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that hacking the psyche through the body as well. So yeah, just things are getting even more crazy. So I think it's a great way to ground into the body, balance your mind, get back on track. So I think the takeaway is to really ground down into Virgo season with some rituals on the daily that just keep you balanced. So really that's the big takeaway. I've already been vibing it. And I think maybe it's the planets that have already gone into Virgo, but that's been calling. So just some simple ones. There's so much on YouTube. It's so accessible these days to do these things. And the best are usually the most simple. What's your key takeaway?
For me, it's do some organizing, sorting, and analysis this month, whether that's in your mental space or in more literal ways at home, at work, or even in your relationships or other areas of your life. Find ways to skillfully offer suggestions for improvement, AKA criticism. But I'll just repeat that in a nicer way, skillfully offer suggestions for improvement. So if you're feeling like offering help or assistance, ask first to make sure that it's wanted, and listen as much as you speak, and make an effort to put yourself in the other person's shoes. I'm thinking here of Venus being in Libra this month as well, or try to understand other people's experiences, especially when you're in polarizing situations or when you're considering or thinking about those polarizing situations. Mm-hmm. How about monthly mantras? What do you have there?
Done is better than perfect. Perhaps that's a takeaway as well.
That should just be mic drop right there.
And so the saying goes, cleanliness is next to godliness, but I will propose that preparation is next to godliness in Virgo season.
So that takes us to monthly mantras. What do you have for your monthly mantra, Vanessa?
I have a few, as always, that I'm going to pick from my list of awesome ones. I easily focus my energy and attention on what's most practical and useful.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
There's so much distraction at the moment. Do you find that? It's quite hard to focus. I mean, there's such extreme events happening, and it is very distracting. It's very hard, which is important to give time to, but we do have to also get on with our own work and center, hence suggesting the pranayama as well to really help with that. What about you, Tony? Straight from the Virgo's mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. Those were great ones. I'm going to add, I am worthy. That would just be one every day for Virgo. I have value just by being me. That's taking in some of the Pisces polarity. I can work to improve the world and accept it as it is at the same time. Well, that takes us to the end of the podcast. And thanks so much for joining me, Vanessa. So what's going on for you this month, Vanessa?
Well, I'm open for readings as always and continuing on working with my book. It's been going a little slowly though, so I have to ramp up and focus from the distraction as well. So what about you, Tony? What's happening with you? What's happening at Astrology University this month?
Well, our four-year program bundle registration is open this month through August 30th. We do this once a year where we open up registration to commit to all 9 courses in the program. And you get 9 courses for the price of 8, basically, in exchange for your commitment. And you'll save a little money in the process. In our 4-year program, we train folks to become professional astrologers or to deepen your experience of astrology with your own chart and using astrology for personal growth. So people join us for multiple intentions there. And we just started each of the 3 years, August 18th. And we just started a brand new course that I'm excited about called Aspect Patterns, also on August 18th. And that course goes for 4 weeks and there's still time to jump in and join us. And you can also jump into the other 2 courses. In year 1, we start with Intro to Astrological Symbols. And in year 2, we start with Major Aspects. Major Aspects provides an introduction to understanding and working with aspects like the square, the opposition, the trine, among others. So you don't have to be registered in our 4-year program to enjoy any of these courses. So just jump in if you like, head over to astrologyuniversity.com/events to learn more. And in webinar news on August 28th, Kelly Surtees presents her newest webinar titled Develop Clarity and Strength with Saturn Transits Through the 12 Houses. So this webinar intends to give you practical tips on working with Saturn Transits with a special focus on each of the 12 houses. And in the process, Kelly will give you a new appreciation for the cyclical process of Saturn's 30-year cycle through the zodiac. So Kelly's been taking a little summer break, so really excited to have her back and teaching another webinar and hope you can join us for that. Again, head over to our events calendar at astrologyuniversity.com/events to learn more. Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Vanessa, and we'll see all of you next month for Libra season.
Stay cosmic.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.